Welcome to this fourth edition of Idea Spies in partnership with A Spanner in the Works. Today we're going to hear from our wonderful legal tech editor, Karen Finch. As well as being our legal editor, Karen is the CEO of Legally Yours, actually a fintech itself. And she's recently been appointed in charge of the women's group of the Legal Tech Leaders Association. So I'm sure she's going to say some very interesting things, and they're very, very topical and relevant to all of us, because at some stage in our lives, we all need a lawyer. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It's great to be on this podcast and talking a bit about the transformation in the legal industry and how legal tech in particular is transforming the legal profession and why it matters. Just before I get started into this discussion, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land that I'm standing on here today, which is the Bunurong Bunurong and the Wurundjeri Wurrung peoples of the Eastern Kulin Nation. And I pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who may be listening today. So, yes, I'm very, very excited to be talking about how legal tech is transforming the legal profession and, most importantly, why it matters. But to begin my discussion, I'd like to first provide a brief outline on the history of legal technology. So the first legal technology company can be traced back to 1982. And by the 1990s, word processing was being taken up by the legal profession in a big way, mainly in the form of document management software, which then evolved to a centralized database of documents that kept tracks of changes and amendments. However, as I'm sure this may come as no surprise to anyone listening today, law firms were initially very resistant to using technology and the internet. But client demand to use email encouraged most law firms to take this up as a mode of communication from 1995 onwards. It was also during this time period that law firms started to create websites. However, there was still a lot of skepticism around whether clients would actually use a website to find a lawyer. Who would have thought? So interestingly, the legal industry's uptake of technology wasn't disrupted by the dot-com bust of 2001. And this was primarily because of the legal industry's resistance and lack of appetite for new technology. However, by the early 2000s, most law firms had comparable systems to their corporate clients, which was great. 2010 was a big year in the history of legal technology because this saw the rise of what we call in the legal industry the new law firm. And this signaled a major increase in small to medium-sized firms using legal technology to deliver legal services to their clients more efficiently and conveniently. As more law firms around the globe started to move away from the traditional billable hour model, lawyers' interest in legal technology grew. And in 2015, it was another big year where 73% of the 148 legal tech companies that are part of the 2020 Global Legal Tech Report, which I'll talk about a little bit later, were founded in this year of 2015. And the biggest number of legal technologies were launched in the year 2019. COVID, whilst obviously very tragic, has been a great motivator for the last frontline of law firms who were resistant to adopting legal technology. And now I'm so pleased to say you'll be hard-pressed to find an Australian law firm who doesn't use several types of legal tech today. Interestingly, stats just released from the 2021-22 Global Legal Tech Report revealed that the net effect on the legal industry from COVID has been positive, and that's both from a financial and cultural perspective for law firms. So quickly, I just want to cover the current state of legal technology today. So as outlined in the 2021-2022 Global Legal Tech Report, which was actually just published this week and will be out to be downloaded next week, there are 35 legal tech product categories in the global legal tech market today. The top three categories are document automation at 44%, legal operations at 36%, and task management at 30%. And the fastest rising categories of legal tech are collaboration platforms, which is at 29%, and online legal service platforms and marketplaces, which is at 28%. And the new emerging categories of legal technology that have arisen since 2020 include online dispute resolution platforms and pricing platforms, which is really exciting. Artificial intelligence, blockchain, and smart contracts are the hottest categories in legal technology in 2022. And overall, I'm so pleased to say that lawyers have finally largely moved away from being frightened of technology and harboring a belief that technology was going to replace them to a view that technology improves their efficiency, enables them to provide better legal services, and have more trusted relationships with their clients. Whilst women in legal tech is still grossly disproportionate to the number of women in law, which sits at 53%, Australia is leading the way in globally in female-founded legal tech companies, with a jump from 21% in 2020 to 29% in 2021, which, as the committee chair for the Women of Australian Legal Technology, which we launched last week, makes me very, very proud and very, very excited. So, how is legal technology actually transforming the legal industry? Well, with the rise of legal tech and the fear that legal robots were going to replace them, this has also meant that for the first time in history, the legal industry has been disrupted and has forced lawyers around the world to actually seriously consider what do they provide and how do they provide it. Legal technology has enabled law firms to move away from the traditional billable hour model and implement fixed fees, agreed pricing, or value-based pricing models. And whilst this might seem like nothing more than a pricing change for some industries, this shift is quite monumental in the legal industry. Billable hours were introduced in the late 70s, early 80s, and lawyers really convinced themselves that they were selling time, when in reality, we know clients are actually purchasing a service or output. So by shifting away from selling time to selling services, lawyers are then forced to think about, well, how do I deliver it? Who am I delivering this service to? And legal technology provides the conduit for this to happen efficiently, effectively, and affordably. So more lawyers are now using legal design thinking principles when they are setting up their law firms and actually taking the time to think about client experience and, can you believe it, CX design models, which is so exciting. This is most prevalent in the wave of virtual law firms that have been set up in the last couple of years. And what I mean by virtual law firms, it's where lawyers are offering geographically agnostic legal services combined with tech-enabled solutions such as smart contracts, e-signing capability, and video consultations. So what we know is that there's a real positive movement with legal tech ideas changing the world for the better. And through my role as the legal tech editor with Ideaspires, I'm so proud to be able to shine the spotlight on positive legal technology that is changing the world for the better. I'm very proud to say that almost all the legal technology companies around the world have a lawyer founder or a co-founder. And this to me demonstrates that the legal industry is really taking their role as the gatekeepers for justice seriously around the world. So I might get into some ideas that I'd like to highlight that I've shared on Ideaspires that I'm really proud of. So the first one is, yes, the launch of the Women of Australian Legal Technology Association, which happened last week, called WALTA. So it was launched on the 28th of April. It stands proudly as a committee under the umbrella of ALTA, and it's supported by PEXA. But WALTA has been formed with a mission to support and empower Aussie women in legal tech. And you can head to alta.law/WALTA to learn more. Another awesome Aussie-founded legal tech company is called Just Fund. It was founded by Andy O'Connor and Jack O'Donnell, and Just Fund was created to enable greater access to family law services. It works by paying clients legal fees so they can engage a lawyer without the stress of having to pay fees throughout the proceedings. And you can head to justfund.com.au to learn more about them there. And another great Aussie legal tech company that's recently been launched, DebtForce. It helps small businesses recover debts efficiently, effectively, and affordably. Managing claims for $500 to $100K, they have no upfront fees payable, and commission is only paid when a debt is actually recovered. And you can head to debtforce.com.au to learn more about them. So let's head overseas. So Legal Link is one of my personal favourites. Founded by Sasha Steinberger, Legal Link is a not-for-profit on a mission to remove the legal barriers that prolong families' experience of poverty in the US. Partner with over 50 community-based organisations across the California Bay Area, Legal Link train their partners to act as community navigators to their clients, providing help support in identifying legal issues and then guidance on how to access the right legal service. They also have a free legal directory and information hub available too. Let's head across to Africa. So Sidebrief is a single interface platform that helps international companies comply with African local standards and rules. Founded by two local lawyers, Sidebrief essentially shares the roadmap on how to effectively expand across jurisdictions across Africa, synchronizing cross-border expansion and helping startups launch faster, more easily, and more successfully in Africa. over to the UK, and TrialView was founded by UK trial lawyer Stephen Dowling. It's leading the way that trials and hearings are run in the UK. Protected by bank-grade security, the platform enables lawyers to share, review and edit and present court documents, as well as enable document-led hearings to be conducted remotely. And over to Canada, The Good Lawyer is a Canadian-based legal tech company that connects startup founders and business owners to sole practitioners and micro-boutique law firms that specialise in corporate and commercial law. And that's just but a few of the amazing legal tech companies that are changing the world for the better. And you can find out more on the legal tech section of ID Spies. So why do positive legal tech companies matter, and why should they matter to you? Well, with the legal profession becoming more accessible to the 70 to 80% of people who have legal needs but don't access legal services, and the launch of more positive legal tech solutions, more people are able to access justice than ever before. More disputes are being resolved outside of the court system, and justice is being dispensed more efficiently and effectively by courts and tribunals around the world. For the legal industry, the shift away from the billable hour is creating a more healthier and more mentally well profession. And the implementation of legal tech solutions means that lawyers have more time to focus on client service delivery and provide greater access to justice to more people around the world. And I think that's pretty incredible. So that's enough from me, Lynn. I hope that's sort of given everybody an idea of what's happening in legal technology around the world.
Well, thank you, Karen.